take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
Natural Healing embraces the power of nature to support the body's innate ability to heal and thrive. It encompasses a holistic approach that considers the interconnectedness of the mind, body, and spirit. From ancient herbal remedies to modern holistic practices, natural healing seeks to address the root causes of imbalance rather than just treating symptoms. By tapping into the healing properties of plants, minerals, and other natural elements, individuals can support their well-being in a gentle and sustainable way. The concept of natural healing is deeply rooted in traditional medicine systems from around the world, such as Ayurveda, traditional Chinese medicine, and indigenous healing practices. These ancient systems recognize the importance of harmony within the body and with the natural world. By aligning oneself with the rhythms of nature and utilizing its gifts, individuals can experience profound healing and transformation. In today's fast-paced world, natural healing offers a sanctuary of wellness that encourages self-care, mindfulness, and self-empowerment. It promotes practices such as herbal medicine, aromatherapy, acupuncture, yoga, meditation, and energy healing to support the body's innate ability to heal itself. By embracing natural healing modalities, individuals can cultivate a deeper connection with themselves, their environment, and the wisdom of nature. In essence, natural healing is a journey of self-discovery and empowerment that honors the body's wisdom and the healing power of the earth. It invites individuals to embrace a lifestyle that nurtures not only their physical health, but also their emotional and spiritual well-being. By integrating natural healing practices into our lives, we can embark on a path of holistic wellness and transformation. You're listening to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I'm your host, Nurse Kimberly Overton. Before we get started today, I do want to encourage our listeners, if you have questions or comments, or perhaps you want to share your own experiences with what you're seeing on the front lines of healthcare, you can now submit those to us by sending them directly to nurses@americaoutloud.com. We will be featuring your questions and comments every Tuesday on a special Q&A episode with the nurses. We encourage all of you to engage in the battle and find your voice in this fight. But until you are able to do that, we will continue to be that voice for you. Joining me today is Ashley James, a self-healing educator, holistic health coach, and rapid anxiety relief expert. Her podcast is called Learn True Health with Ashley James, where she interviews holistic health experts and doctors of naturopathic medicine. Through these interviews, her expert guests teach listeners how to feel amazing again and gain health naturally through holistic medicine, diet, supplemental nutrition, and lifestyle changes. Ashley makes sure that listeners learn the best self-healing techniques and natural medicine life hacks for gaining energy, better sleep, a boosted immune system, and an overall feeling of awesomeness. Over the last 14 years, Ashley and her husband have built several interesting businesses, including reaching the top rank of a holistic network marketing company, living off of a thrifty eBay business, and building and selling bat houses from their garage to aid in bat conservation. After struggling with health issues her whole adult life, including infertility, Ashley turned to naturopathic holistic medicine for answers. She became passionate about self-healing and learning how to reverse these conditions naturally. Through holistic medicine, Ashley cured her diabetes, resolved her hormone issues, got her energy back, and stopped chronic infections. What's most impressive is after 6 years of trying to have a baby and get pregnant without natural medicine, Ashley and her husband were able to naturally conceive thanks to self-healing, which included a holistic approach to diet, supplements, and nutrition. Ashley, thank you for joining me today.
I am so excited to be here, Kimberly. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so excited. I think it was Melissa Schreibfeder is the one who connected me and recommended you for the show. And as soon as she, I take anything Melissa says, as like gospel truth that this is a good person in this fight. So.
Awesome. Yeah, she when my book the day it launched, she said, you've got to get on this show. You've got to just this is going to be great." And I got so excited because self-publishing and self-promoting my book. So just I reached out to everyone I knew and I said, "Who do you know? Let me get on, help me get on other people's shows." And it's interesting to be in the hot seat because I've been interviewing people for let's see, going on 8 years next
Wow.
month.
So
And
you were in the fight before it was cool to be in the fight, right?
I guess you could say that I've been in the holistic health industry for 12 years because I was able to, as you said in my bio, I was able to reverse all these health conditions using natural medicine. And what's interesting is that's actually my second time around. When I was 6 years old, I was really sick. And I'd wake up with a sore throat. My nose was clogged and my eyes were frozen shut from all of the sleep. It was the weirdest thing. I would scream because I couldn't open my eyes as a kid. It was terrifying, but it was actually all this like goo that came out of my eyes in the night that would crust over and close my eyes permanently until it got removed.
Oh, wow.
And I felt tired all the time. And I wasn't overweight as a kid. I was sort of like l lean and almost like you could see my rib cage, but I just was exhausted and had this constant sore throat. And then my mom took me when I was 6 years old to a naturopath. It was Dr. Diadamo, the guy that wrote the original book, Eat Right for Your Blood Type. He created the blood type diet. And the science is neither here nor there on that, but it was just interesting that he was sort of one of the first naturopaths that said, we should look into our heritage more. And now everyone does. Now everyone's like paleo this, right?
Yes.
And so I went there and I remember I was 6 years old. I remember sitting in his office and it was totally a different experience from going to the pediatrician. He didn't try to inject me with anything. He spent a lot of time with us. He looked at my eyes, he looked at my tongue, he looked at my ears, he took my blood. He said, "You're allergic to milk, yeast, wheat, and sugar, and you must avoid them at all costs." And I said, I knew those were the ingredients in my favorite chocolate bar. So he said, "Well, when can I have a chocolate bar?" It was Coffee Crisp. If you ever go to Canada, and not that I recommend anyone eat chocolate bars, but that was my favorite when I was six. And he said, "Once in a blue moon." And I got excited because I thought a blue moon was a full moon. So I thought, okay, once a month I get to have one.
Oh, that's awesome.
My mom took away all the junk. And we went on basically, it's called the O blood type diet. We went on basically what's now considered paleo. It was gluten free. The gluten didn't exist in anyone's mind back in the 80s, but we removed all the grains, except for brown rice. And we just ate very, very clean. And we took supplements that he created. And overnight, I tell you, all those health issues went away. And from age six, from that moment I saw him all the way to 13, I was never sick. And if I was sick, it was a 12-hour experience. It was like I got a fever, I went to bed, I got a fever, I woke up the next day, I was fine. I lived true health. I had absolutely amazing health. And then when I hit 13, I rebelled against my parents. I ate the cafeteria food. I wanted to eat like my friends, and I recreated illness. And then I had to learn that hard truth again through my 20s and 30s that I had to go back to holistic medicine. I had to relearn that and realize my mom was right. And that was the bitter pill to swallow. But
That's always a bitter pill, isn't it?
it's the rags to riches story around health. And that is everything you put in your mouth. Everything you put in your mouth matters. It's funny how doctors will say, "You diet doesn't matter." Like I have a friend who had like half his intestines removed because he had colitis. And yet the doctor said, "You can eat all the pizza you want. In fact, we want you to eat more pizza and more milkshakes because you're underweight. We want you to gain weight. So here, eat more." I'm thinking, this is ludicrous. The diet is what is inflaming him in the first place. The diet is what's, attributing to this in the first place. They'll say nothing, no food matters. But here, take this tiny pill the size of a pea, and that's what matters. Right? It's reverse logic. Right. And so when we really get that, what matters is everything you put into your mouth. And of course, everything that's in between your ears, right? Your attitude, your thoughts, the thoughts you let yourself have, because we know that stress, it doesn't matter whether we're in mental stress, physical stress, spiritual stress. Stress is stress to the body. The body doesn't differentiate between that. And those who are under stress, and there's studies that have shown this, our DNA is actually affected by stress, that our cellular age increases. We age faster when we're under stress. And that stress can be nutrient deficiency. It can be going through the drive-thru and eating fried food. It can be fighting with your spouse or thinking really negative thoughts and allowing negative thoughts to run your life. So a lot of people don't know that they have a choice. They think their thoughts are their thoughts, and they don't realize that they have a choice, that they can choose to make a shift mentally. So I studied neurolinguistic programming, timeline therapy, hypnosis. I studied all these things in an effort for me to overcome my anxiety and overcome my issues and heal from the loss of both my parents. I've lost my mom at 22. She was the healthiest person I knew, but she actually gave in to doctors and was on a hormone supplement because her doctor said to her, if you don't take this, your bones are going to be brittle and you'll break a hip and die. And this MD feared my mom into taking a drug that was removed from the market for causing too much cancer the week my mom died. I remember being in the hospital with my mom, hearing that on the radio. And I was furious because my mom bought into the fear mongering that the MDs pushed on her. And MDs are, and this is where I know you'll appreciate this, but they're like the spokespersons. People for big pharma. Now, I appreciate allopathic medicine when I break my arm or God forbid, or in a car accident or need an emergency medicine. That's where they shine. Now, they're not amazing all the time, but like that's where they shine. But when it comes to chronic illness, their education is what fails them and thus fails us. And their education is by design. It is influenced by the pharmaceutical industry. The MDs have been taught that food doesn't matter. The MDs have not been taught how to help us create optimal health and how to help us heal our bodies and create true health. And that's why your listeners are listening to you, because they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. They're sick and tired of being lied to, the side effects, being affected by MD-based pharmaceutical medicine that is toxic, that is harmful to the body. And we must take the reins in our own health. That's why I ended up writing my book, because there's so much diet confusion. There's so much we don't know what to do. And even maybe we do know what to do, but we don't know how to implement it. So my book, which is called Addicted to Wellness, is a very easy, you can pick it up 15 minutes a day kind of book. And it gives weekly challenges to take on between 1 and 4 new behaviors that build you up, because the only way that we can create optimal health, that we can reverse disease and avoid chronic disease, is by taking 100% responsibility for our own health and not giving in to doctors when they say, you need this injection or you need this pill. That is ludicrous. I appreciate allopathic medicine for when all else fails, but it is not my first go-to when I have any health issue, because 9 times out of 10, we can reverse it ourselves by supporting our body's ability to heal itself.
Exactly. And you know, what's really interesting to me is that most of the people in this space, most of your naturopaths, most of your holistic health coaches are all people who have reversed their own illness. That's why everybody that does this in this space is so passionate about it, because right. They have been abandoned by allopathic and their traditional conventional medical communities. They were tired, like you said, tired of being sick and tired and going, for help, but really just getting nothing more than a pill that probably is going to cause a whole cascade of events and other issues that they have to deal with. And it's just like this, it's very cyclical, and it's just never ending. So I think that most of these people in this space that have found themselves in natural healers, it is because they were inspired on their own healing journey and that they've had to reverse their own chronic conditions. I find that over and over again. Melissa Schreibfetter, like I mentioned earlier in the show, is another example of that. She had to reverse her own chronic Lyme disease.
Right. Oh my goodness. I have a friend who's fighting Lyme right now. And I'm very thankful that she's like leaning on me. And actually, a lot of my friends are like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to bother you. I don't want to like take advantage of you. And, you know, I know this is what you do for a living. And I like, I won't let my friends pay me. I'm like,
hard. Isn't it hard? It's so hard. And you just, 'cause you just want to help people, right? But at the same time, you know, I think we have to set boundaries. It's very difficult.
I have a small group of friends, and I don't care if they wake me up in the middle of the night. I'm like, what is that, like ride or die? I don't know what to say, but
I've got my top five. So
if you're in my group of friends, I will die for you. Like I'll take a bullet for you. So I'm just one of those friends. And, I don't mind if people reach out to me with health questions. And this is what I do for a living. And, you know, if I won the lottery, I'd do it for free kind of thing. I just need to be able to pay my bills, and then I'm happy to help. Friends reached out to me. And she's like, oh my gosh, because I've sent her to a naturopath. I've sent her to a few, you know, I've given her some interviews on it. She's like, I can't believe I've spent $2,500 on this so far. And I'm like, most Lyme people I know within like the first 5 years, if they haven't overcome it by then, have spent 10 grand. Like it's kind of crazy, but that's one of the things that you can go to so many different practitioners and they send you down so many paths. But what I've seen work so well with Lyme is building yourself up so that your body is able to fight it. It's all about building up that foundation of health. And that's the tricky part, is who to listen to. Right. And there's a lot of great information, but there's also a lot of information that can make you go sideways. And so so many people have asked me this, and I say, listen to everything and listen to your gut and just look into the information. Be like me, an open-minded skeptic. Be open-minded enough to take in something that might go against your current belief system. Like, for example, frequency medicine, right? Or homeopathy, right? Homeopathy is not molecular medicine. It's frequency medicine. But I've seen homeopathy do things. And homeopathy is like the cheapest medicine. It's like, take this $9 vial. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have seen homeopathy do things that are miraculous, that are amazing. And there's no placebo effect, because it works on animals and babies as well. The baby or the animal doesn't realize that they should have a spontaneous recovery from a little tiny sugar pellet that has a frequency on it, right? And so it's just really interesting that there are so many different types of modalities out there. And some of them have amazing results, and not everything's met for everyone. So it's good to have an open mind, and then use a bit of critical thinking, but just make sure that your current belief system isn't getting in the way of taking in new information, because right. We have to be open to learning, because we have to remember we were raised in a system that brainwashed us into believing that vaccines are safe and effective, that anytime you have an infection, you can just go get tubes put in your ears or have your adenoids removed, and that's safe. I mean, I've known of children who've died in the process of having this very, very safe surgery. It's okay. We're going to take your 4-year-old and put them under general anesthesia. I mean, are you kidding me? Most of the time, it's a dairy allergy, and naturopaths, that's like naturopathic 101. Remove the cow dairy from the child and also processed sugar. And see what happens. Most of the time, that it completely clears it up. This is common knowledge, and yet MDs will go for a major surgery in which there's potential death risk. Yeah. So the whole world is backwards when it comes to medicine, and we have to be willing to challenge our own belief system and take in new information and try new things.
Yeah, and that's so important, you know. And I've been in healthcare, or as I really call it, sick care. It's really a sick care system, because you know it does nothing to keep anybody well. But I've been in here for 27 years, and it was, you know, I'm an ICU nurse, and it was very depressing, even pre-COVID, to watch all of these people come in with this chronic disease, almost all of these things that were really, for the most part, preventable with lifestyle changes, and to see them come in over and over again, and we're not doing anything to get them well. We're just managing their symptoms until they ultimately succumb to these diseases. And it was, to me, this the saddest part of being an ICU nurse. And to be able to come on the other side of that and have this entire world opened up to me of natural medicine has been really amazing because, you know, we're taught, like you said earlier, we're brainwashed into the allopathic world. And we're taught that anything outside or anything talking about plants or nature is just quackery, right? We're just supposed to write that off and that couldn't possibly be true. But it just makes, when you stop and think about it, it just makes the most logical sense, especially if you're a believer, certainly if you're a believer.
So I interviewed this one woman who, she graduated from Harvard, you know, top of her class as a medical doctor, and did amazing post degree work and, you know, extra training and stuff like that. And so she was, you know, very much bought into the system. Right. And then then her health failed, although she did all the quote unquote right things that, you know, MDs are taught to do. And she went around to many of her colleagues who also were genius doctors. And it was just like, oh, the tests are inconclusive. And, you know, we don't really have a drug for you. So they're looking at your symptoms to see if they have a drug.
Yes. That's all they do anymore. It's like it's like they might as well just have like a little like computer. They put it on in their phone or whatever. It's like they take all of your symptoms and then they put them in and it just kind of spits out what drug you should write for this group of symptoms. I mean, it's just the most asinine thing I've ever seen. It's like, you don't even really need any knowledge or education. They take the critical thinking out of everything. Mm-hmm. And these doctors are not diagnosing and treating. They're just simply masking symptoms and doing disease management versus getting well.
And it's not necessarily their fault. So it's their fault that they're not critically thinking, right?
Yeah.
But their education brainwashed them. And let me elaborate. So I asked her, I'm like, because she eventually had found natural medicine. So she was on my show in the first place. And she had to heal herself. And then her whole clinic is now showing people how to heal themselves with their food choices and how to reverse disease with what's on their plate, which is like, duh, right? Like you and me, it's like duh, but to right. people have been going to a doctor their whole life, an MD, you know, to have an MD sit you down for 45 minutes and help you learn about nutrition, it's nutrition that heals the body, right? That's not in their training. So I said to her, why is it that so many doctors don't see this? Right. And why is it that, you know, the occasional doctor I get that's like has learned to unbrainwash themselves, put themselves from the matrix, because the system failed them. But why is it largely that most medical doctors don't get it, that they're still just pill pushers? And she said, it's because we invested $500,000 into our education, that we spent so many years becoming a medical doctor. And we believe that because we spent all this money and because we spent all this time, everything they taught us in medical school is the only thing worth knowing. And that if they didn't teach it to us, it doesn't matter. And that's the general attitude that all the professors have and all the doctors that are above them have, is that if we don't teach it to you, then it's not important. And they're given something like less than 25 hours of nutritional training in their 8 years of education. It's really ridiculous. But in the root of it, we know that the medical establishment, the medical schools and universities were influenced by and still are influenced by the pharmaceutical industry. Yes. That back when the Flexner Report happened, I think it was like 115 years ago, and that every single school was, excuse me, every single school was had donated money from the pharmaceutical industry to have a person on their board and to make sure they stop teaching holistic medicine. Because back 100 years ago, homeopathy, there were homeopathic hospitals. They had better outcomes when there was outbreaks than the traditional hospitals. So it's a little wild to see that we've really had the wool pulled over our eyes. But if we look at the propaganda machine, for example, midwifery, you have better outcomes with a midwife at home than you do in hospitals in terms of you're not exposed to MRSA, you're not exposed to all these things. And then when you enter a hospital giving birth, you have a higher rate of having C-section and have it anytime they start intervening, like we're going to give you this drug, or we're going to give you a spinal infusion or spinal tap, whatever it's called. Epidural. Thank you. The moment they do that is now increased your chance. Because once you start interrupting that process of labor, you are increasing your chances of having a C-section, of having more medical intervention. Yeah. Whereas at home, if you're birthing at home, if everything in their pregnancy went well and is safe to birthing at home is a safer experience for the baby and for the child and has higher, better outcomes. Yeah. We know this. And this is the same 100 years ago. And yet they created the hospitals realized that a lot of people die in hospitals. So they kind of had a bad rap, and they wanted to increase their profits. So they started pushing this idea that birthing in hospitals was safer than being at home. And so they put a ton of propaganda out there about how the midwives are these dirty gypsies from, you know, the old world, right? And we're here in America, we're the new world, we're clean and sterile. And so you want to come and birth in a hospital where it's clean. You don't want that dirty gypsy midwife touching your baby. And they actually had pictures of what looked like witches in the newspapers, like, don't let the dirty midwife touch you and give you disease. Come to their clean hospital. But this is, I mean, it's no different nowadays in their propaganda. It's no different. But we have to remember that we have been raised in the thick of this matrix, that we have been programmed. So our unconscious mind has a belief system about how good doctors are, how safe drugs are, how we can trust hospitals. And what we really need to do is start to use our critical thinking when it comes to building our health up. We have to start to question every aspect of our belief system, because our belief system has been influenced by the propaganda machine that is over 100 years old.
You know, and it's funny, Ashley, because when you say that, like, my eyes were opened, I mean, peeled wide open through COVID. And mm-hmm. once you see, you can't unsee any of it. And it's so interesting to me to go back, like, looking over my life and the different events and different just things in general. And I'm looking back and I recognize the propaganda in everything now when I look back at it. I didn't realize it at the time, but looking back now, once you have, you know, your eyes are open and you have this different perspective, you can see it everywhere.
It is so true. And I think they're going to try to do it again. But, and I said this, I think I was recorded on my podcast saying this in 2020. I said, it's going to be very interesting, probably in like 40 to 50 years from now, that they'll be studying the global lockdown, that it was an experiment on the human population. And they got to see, it's like you electrify the little button that the rats push to get their food. And just to see, you know, what would happen to the rat population. Like, this is what they did. They did a huge global experiment on us. And they got to see how we react, so they can plan the next time they pull something on us. But I think in America, at least, I do know, unfortunately, Canada's lost. But Americans will stand up. I think that we'll have like a Tea Party kind of, you know, Boston Tea Party, like throw the vaccines in the ocean. You know?
That would be great. That would be great. Now I will lead the charge on that. I'm actually originally from Boston, so it's in my blood. I should be leading the charge on that one. America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can also listen on our media player from any web browser, anywhere in the world. We have the best in-class apps available on Apple, Android, or Alexa, 24/7. Great talk radio. All of our shows go to podcast the following day. You can hear them on apps such as Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcast, and many more. Be sure to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts for me. Don't forget to check out our online store at americaoutloud.shop, where you can find all of the products that we represent on our network at a discounted rate, including ASEA Redox, which I can personally speak to seeing fantastic results with, including better sleep, increased energy, improved mood, and a decrease in my joint pain. Use promo code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your purchase. I'll catch you on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
It's time and this is
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutLoud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I'm your host, Nurse Kimberly Overton. Wherever you're listening from today and whatever you're doing, I thank you for giving me the gift of your time. Be sure to make AmericaOutLoud.news your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. We all must do our part and share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and videos so we can help secure America's future. If you're just joining us, I've been talking with holistic health coach and host of Learn True Health podcast, Ashley James. Let's jump right back in. Ashley, thanks again for being here.
Oh, this is so much fun. I always love talking about this stuff. You know, I suffered for so many years. I would cry myself to sleep. I would burst into tears on a regular basis because I felt like I was a prisoner trapped in my body. I was hungry all the time. I remember we went on a day trip. My husband and I, when we lived in Las Vegas, we went on this beautiful day trip where we kind of just drove around the mountain and went to Prump and then came back around. And halfway, and there's nothing out there. It's the desert. And we're 45 minutes into the trip. There's nothing around. And I just start crying because I was so hungry. What I didn't know was that my body was so depleted in minerals that I was experiencing pica or cribbing, you know, the pregnant ladies that will run out in the dirt and start eating the dirt in the middle of
the toilet paper. They'll eat anything.
That was me. My body was so depleted in minerals that I felt like I was being digested from the inside. The hunger was so intense and so painful. And I felt out of control. My blood sugar was out of control. My hunger was out of control. I was exhausted all the time. I had chronic infections. It was ridiculous. I was diagnosed after some tests by a functional doctor with chronic adrenal fatigue so bad. She said, I haven't seen cortisol levels this low in a long time. She said, the only other time I saw cortisol levels this low, and it was the spit test that you do throughout the day so she could see where my cortisol was throughout the day. She goes, after she'd participated in the Olympics twice, and she said, the only time I've seen cortisol this low was when right after the Olympics. And then her cortisol bounced back. That was my regular cortisol all the time. She said, your highest cortisol is for normal people when they're sleeping. Like, I was a walking zombie and I felt so sick all the time. And I was in my 20s. In your 20s, you're supposed to be like, I don't know, clubbing with your girlfriends, like having a ball. Right? And I was, I felt like I was ready to die. And so I know the listener who is suffering, who is sick, who is tired of being sick, who's tired of the side effects, who's tired of the medication, who's tired of being told by their doctor that they have this because it's genetic. They have this because they're a woman or because they're a man or because they're old or because they're black or because they're white, whatever. The amount of excuses that come out of the MD's mouth, they should really be held accountable. But they hubris. They do not like to not have the answers. So they like to blame it on, it's your genetics, right? And that's complete BS because the second I changed my diet and my lifestyle. I'll tell you one thing. It was 2008, and my husband and I had just watched a health documentary in which the original CEO, the founder of Whole Foods, said, shop the perimeter of the grocery store and choose organic. And we decided to do that, do a little health experiment. So we shopped the perimeter of the grocery store. So we automatically cut out processed food and grains, most processed food. We still ate dairy at the time. We still ate meat at the time. And we ate fruit and vegetables. That's, you know, the perimeter of the grocery store. That's where the fruit, the vegetables, the meat, and the dairy and the eggs exist. And we chose only organic. And in 1 month, first month, my chronic infections went away. I was on constant antibiotics. I had just, yeah. It was ridiculous. And they went away in 1 month, making one change to our diet. And I thought to myself, I still felt like crap, but I just wasn't, you know, now I was on antibiotics and I didn't have chronic infections. I thought, what else? What else by taking on one other challenge or one other change? What else can we change? And I ended up finding a naturopath that created a line of supplements himself because he couldn't find any other quality out there. And it was a liquid mineral. And this, I didn't even know this was what my body needed. But when I drank that, the first day I drank that, my husband turned to me at about 2 p.m. and said, you haven't eaten today. And I started crying because that was the first time in my memory, in my adult life, that I had skipped breakfast and lunch and I wasn't hungry. And that was the minerals. And so I was like, they're here. One more change, major improvement. Within 5 days of changing my diet that time and from the naturopath that he had me avoid certain foods like gluten, grains, oil in the diet, fried foods. You know, he has a list of 12 foods to avoid. And it doesn't matter whether you're vegan or vegetarian or paleo or whatever you choose to do. It's 12 things in your diet he wants you to avoid, and he wants you to eat organic. So I removed those 12 things. I started taking the minerals and really high quality vitamins, which I'd already been taking vitamins, but they like were from Trader Joe's or something. I didn't notice a difference. I also didn't realize at the time that I can't methylate. I have MTHFR. So that makes another difference. But within 5 days of making that change, I started waking up early in the morning full of energy. That's how quickly my chronic adrenal fatigue shifted when my body was given the nutrients it needed. And it, big light bulbs were popping off in my brain because I'm thinking, man, you go to a doctor and they say this takes years or you might have this your whole life. I went to a functional doctor and she put me on drugs that were, you know, bioidentical or whatever from a compounding pharmacy. But still, none of that was getting to the root cause, that my body was completely deplete and that I needed to make major changes to my diet. But I had to do so one at a time so that I learned, so that I got, whoa, aha, this made a difference. And sometimes these changes you need to implement longer than others. Some people will say, well, I tried that gluten-free thing and I didn't feel good. Well, a lot of times people will just switch over to eating a bunch of processed crap that has a gluten-free tag on it. You have to be really careful what we put in our mouths because every single choice matters.
And greenwashing is a thing, and it's a serious, serious issue. I actually did an episode on greenwashing with Melissa Schreibfeder several months ago. And I still fall victim to that sometimes. Yep. Yep. You know, I'll be like, okay, this is a better choice. It's on the perimeter of the grocery store. I grab this vegetable smoothie and I'm like, oh, it tastes good. Well, there should have been my first clue. It tasted good, right? If it tastes good, it's because it's full of sugar.
Yeah.
So I turn around and I finally look at the label because everything about it says like no sugar added and it's, no sugar added, healthy this, nutritious that. And I'm like, okay, I grabbed it. I said, well, we'll try this. I tasted it. It tastes great. I'm like, okay, that's a problem. It tastes too good. And I turn it around and it had like 56 carbs and 46 grams of sugar.
What was it from though? Did it say like maltodextrin or fructose? Like what was it from?
I don't know. I didn't even look that deeply into it. I like threw the bottle. I was so mad. I was just like, oh my God, I'll get back to you. I have another bottle of it here and I'm not drinking it, by the way.
Well, I'm curious to know. So I'm not afraid of carbs. Here's the thing. Broccoli has carbs, apple has carbs, banana has carbs. Like, you know, carbs aren't, and we vilify macronutrients, which is, there's a whole section in my book about macronutrients and this whole vilification. We have to look at processed food versus whole food. So if you eat 300 carbs a day, I'm fine as long as it comes from a whole food source. If you're like, I've got carrots and potatoes and broccoli and green beans, and I've got some pinto beans, and I made my own pico de gallo salsa. And if you ate all that and it added up to 300 carbohydrate, you know, grams of carbs a day, you're going to feel amazing. If you eat 300 grams of carbs at McDonald's, you're going to feel like death warmed over the next day. You're going to feel like you got hit by a Mack truck the next day. But if you eat 300 carbs from whole food sources, you will feel amazing. And
that's so true. And so maybe like stop. I try not to count calories anymore and to count carbs. And I'm trying to really get myself out of that lane. And it's something I still struggle with, you know, to this day. I'm going through menopause. That's a whole other issue. You know, I've gained 25 pounds in the last 3 years between menopause and the stress of all of the craziness in the world and everything I'm going through. So I've definitely put on weight. So it's something I've been struggling with. But I'm trying not to count calories, and I'm trying to just eat, like you said, good, wholesome foods and seeing if that doesn't make the difference for me.
You know, I have a guest for you. I'll make an introduction afterwards. It's Dr. Alan Christensen, and he wrote a really great book, especially for women going through menopause and that stubborn weight gain. So he's a naturopathic endocrinologist, and I've had him on my show, I think, three or four times. I can remember three times, but it might have been four. And in his book about this, he's, and I don't remember all the details of the study, but I'll just give you the basics. They did this with women going through menopause, and they found that when they put them on a calorie restricted diet, it had a larger negative impact, because when we calorie restrict, and of course, any woman listening, I'd bet money, I'd take this to Vegas, that every woman listening has at one point in their life chosen to restrict calories, because we've been taught calories in, calories out. And if you lower your calories, you'll lose weight. And this is one of the biggest farces when it comes to the diet industry. Every time you lower your caloric intake if it's one day, that's not a problem. It doesn't hurt your metabolism. But if you do it for a few weeks, you have now lowered your metabolism. So let's go back and pretend that we're cave women or whatever. And, you know, we're actually like living off the land. Our body goes, okay, we don't have a refrigerator. We don't have a cupboard filled with food, right? We don't have a grocery store. We have to live off the land. So there's days we don't get any food, and there's days when food is plentiful. When we don't eat enough, so now we're in a famine, right? Our metabolism slows down, so that we don't burn through calories, because we're in a deficit right now. Our metabolism slows down. And then when we actually get to a point where we have enough food, our metabolism doesn't go back up. It stays at the lowered rate. And we then, now we're eating more calories because it's available, because we've hunted or gathered or whatever. And now we put on weight. And that's what the body wants to do to survive the next famine. We regularly fasted for weeks at a time until we had access to food storage, right? So they say 10,000 years ago is when we began to do farming. And we don't know there's people that believe that we before that time didn't have food storage. I don't know. We weren't there. And I mean, some people believe we've only been here for 5,000 years. Who knows? Point being, we know that up until a few hundred years ago, we did not have access to regular food. Right now, you can go into the fridge anytime, day or night. But your ancestors, only a few hundred years ago, did not have constant access to food, right? So what we see now is that when we lower calories, it reduces our metabolism, and our metabolism doesn't bounce back. There's one thing that does heal the metabolism, and that's fasting. Water-only fasting. So 3 to 5 day fasts every month will bring the metabolism back. So that's really interesting about that. And then Dr. Alan Christensen does talk about when to eat is important, and what to eat, when to eat, and what to eat, especially during and after menopause. That has been proven to help women create really healthy bodies and lose that weight. That hormone hormone-induced weight. And you're right, it's also definitely stress-related. So that was my little, interesting side note about that. I know you wanted to talk about the anxiety.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, so I see in your bio, as I was reading your bio, that you are a rapid anxiety relief expert. And I'm like, okay, well, I want to learn more about the rapid anxiety relief. And I think many of us, especially just in the world we're living in, probably experiencing some level of anxiety.
Yes.
I think mine has, you know, kind of gone through the roof at some days, you know, are worse than others, just, you know, with so much being just uncertain. And that's with everybody and just the times we're living in. So definitely want to hear more about this.
Great. So I'd love to teach it to you. So for everyone who's listening, don't do this while you're driving, because I'm going to ask you in a minute to close your eyes, but just come back to this when you're like, pull over and come back to this recording. But for those who can close their eyes, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for about less than 2 minutes. So Kimberly, would you like to be the guinea pig? Do you have anything right now that when you think about something specific in the future, that when you think about it now, you feel anxiety in the now?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So you have a specific event. You don't have to tell us what it is, but if you want to, you can.
Well, I think it's really not, I wouldn't say an event, but just, you know, the future and the sustainability of what we're building with Remnant Healthcare.
Okay.
And the fact that, you know, that a lot of that rests upon my ability to execute is a little bit of a stressful situation at times. So I think that just that outcome is stressful to me.
Got it. Great. Okay. So we're going to use this, but what I want everyone to choose is this is just for the exercise. This is just for me to teach you this. Then you can apply it to other things, but I want you to pick a specific event. So for everyone listening, it's like, do you have anxiety around your taxes or around seeing the dentist or like a specific date? Like if they can think about something in the future that has a specific date associated with it. So Kimberly, when you think about your business and what you're building, is there like a specific event or a date, or can you pick a date in which
we've got an event coming up. So I always stress out about my events that are coming up, that they're not going to be great. So we've got one coming up, March 17th.
Okay, terrific. So when you think about the event March 17th, how much anxiety do you have in your body right now? Well, thinking about March 17th on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, you know, horrible, 1 being none, almost none at all.
Probably about a 6.
Okay. Great. So what I want you to do, and everyone, I'd like everyone to follow along. So pick your date and then ask yourself, how much anxiety do I have right now in my body when thinking about this event? And give it a 1 to 10. And so Kimberly, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to close your eyes and everyone can follow along. I'd like you to imagine that your entire life is like a line. You know, there's the futures in one direction, past is in the other. Sometimes for people, futures going forward, past is back. And for others, it's like a line out in front of them where the past is to the left and the future's to the right. However you do it, your whole timeline exists in this infinite line. And I want you to float above it. And I want you to go all the way to your event, March 17th. I'd like you to see and float to 15 minutes after the successful completion of the event and be the fly on the wall observing yourself 15 minutes after the successful completion. Now, where's your anxiety? Is it there? Is it gone?
Gone.
At zero?
Yeah, zero.
Okay, good. Now you can float back to now. There are some people, though, that it didn't go to zero. So I want you to stay there. So Kimberly, you can open your eyes because you're done. And everyone who went to zero, they can come back to now. For those who still have anxiety, I want you to ask yourself, did you imagine? Now this is made up, right? Imagining your future is make-believe, right? Just like imagining a bad outcome is make-believe, imagining a good outcome is make-believe. They're both make-believe. We're doing a process called active imagination, where we're choosing to act. It's like daydreaming. We're choosing to actively imagine something. But watch, as we do, we can turn anxiety on or off. Physical sensations in the body, the physiology of anxiety is directly related to what you're choosing to focus on and visualize. So I want you, everyone listening, to that still has anxiety, to go 15 minutes past the successful completion. Some people don't imagine the success. They just imagine like the chaos, right? So I want you to go 15 minutes past the successful completion of the event for which you have anxiety around and float above it. It's kind of mundane. Sometimes 15 minutes after the success of something's like, I'm just driving home or I'm just cooking dinner. Like it's not anything big, but it's 15 minutes after the success. And if your anxiety is at zero, then come back to now. For some people, they still have anxiety. So here's the thing. Sometimes there's multiple steps. So ask yourself. So sometimes it's like, well, it was at a six, but now it's at a three. Okay. For those people, continue to float above your event. And if it's at a like it's gone down, but it's still somewhat there, I want you to ask yourself, what am I anxious of now? Because there's another step. And then I want you, once you've identified it, to go to that event 15 minutes past the successful completion of that event. And ask yourself, where's the anxiety? Is it there? Is it gone now? For most people, it's gone. For some people, they might have a few more steps. And for those who still have anxiety, my last thing is I want you to go and float out 15 minutes past the successful completion of your life. Many, many years from now, you're surrounded by your whole family. Everyone is so happy because you live to, 120 years old and you achieved everything you wanted to achieve. And here you are in heaven or whatever your belief system is for your afterlife. And everyone is loving you and happy, whatever you could imagine is the most successful completion of your life. I want you to go 15 minutes past the successful completion. And that is what we do for generalized anxiety, where it's like, I have anxiety, but I can't figure out what the anxiety is about. I just always have it.
Yeah.
We have 15 minutes past the successful completion of their life. There's nothing left to be anxious about. You can go the 15 minutes past the end of, there's no end of time, but just keep going. This, as long as you visualize the success, we actually tell our body, because our body's always listening to our thoughts. And we tell our body, we are safe. Everything's okay. And when our focus, our mental focus, our mental images in our mind, and our words we use in our mind, our thoughts, are of things that are safe, then our anxiety response turns off. Because anxiety, and here's the fun thing, is not an emotion. We think anxiety is emotion, but it's not actually an emotion. It's a physiological response to being in fight or flight, to being ready to survive threat. We've been in constant threat the last 4 years. No wonder everyone has anxiety. But worry and fear, yes, those are emotions. But anxiety is actually your conscious understanding of what it feels like to be in extreme fight or flight. You feel your palms sweat. You feel your heart race. You feel, the pit in your stomach. That's actually you feeling the physiological changes that occur when we go into that sympathetic nervous system response, that our body is shunting blood away from our core, away from our digestion. It's turning off our digestion. That's why when you eat, when you're in stress mode or you're in anxiety, it just feels like sometimes people throw up, but it just sits there like a rock. We either get constipation or diarrhea from being in anxiety. It also shunts blood away from the logic centers of the brain. And oftentimes we have tunnel vision. We cannot think clearly. So those who say, well, I need to be in stress mode to like get stuff done at work. And it says, this is how I avoid procrastination by feeling stress. And this is how I get stuff done. You're actually not, you don't have full access to your brain, especially not the parts that think logically or creatively. The best thing to do is get out of stress response. And part of my book actually is there's whole weeks of challenges where I show you the science-based, and I feel like the word, the phrase science-based has lost all credibility in the last 40 years.
Agreed. Agreed.
That's the science. But the science shows that my book will teach you how to turn off the anxiety response by taking your physiology out of stress mode. Now, stress mode ages you faster. It lowers your immune system. It removes the ability to critically think and to think creatively, to problem solve creatively. It is not a good place to live in, but the programming of society. So the very intentional programming has taught us to stay in fight or flight mode and give in to the urges that are associated with that. So like, oh, your boyfriend broke up with you? Here, eat some ice cream and sob while watching TV, or eat some raw cookie dough. Like, it is a part of every aspect of our lives that the mainstream media, the Hollywood, has programmed us to be socially acceptable to drink if you're sad. Drink alcohol if you're happy. Drink alcohol if you're sad. Alcohol puts your body into a state of fight or flight for 24 hours. And this is measured by multiple instruments can measure this, but also heart rate variability, which is by far the most interesting way to measure stress response. We talk about this in my book, and I teach a breathing technique that turns off within minutes, turns the stress response off and gets heart rate variability back to a place where we are, our body's gone into super healing mode. So we want to every day do these little exercises that I teach in my book that turn off the stress response, and by doing so, help to turn off anxiety, because anxiety is your experience of your stress response. Now, stress is not an emotion. Also, a lot of people say, well, I don't feel stress. I have a client who said that once to me, and I about fell out of my chair because I realized the problem, because I was trying to help her lower her stress levels, but she was in denial about ever being in stress. Her mom had cancer. She had a six-year-old. She was a busy manager. She'd work all day, take care of her mom, then come home, cook and clean for her husband and daughter. I'm like, yeah, you have stress. You have stress. And her health was kind of spinning out of control because she had stress. But we're expecting stress to be an emotion that we feel, like happy or sad. You don't feel stress until your body is shutting down from it. Right. I interviewed a woman who was on stage in Montreal at a big expo giving a keynote lecture, and she fainted. Her body just shut down. That's when she realized she had pushed herself to the brink, and her body was like, well, you know, we don't have any more to give. Just falls to the floor like a puppet that lost its strings. And she had to rebuild her health up and her sanity up, but she had pushed herself. The stress, she was ignoring the stress. And we as women, I can't speak for what it's like to be a man, but I know we as women push ourselves and ignore all the warning signs. That's why women will die of heart attacks. Men oftentimes have warning signs they listen to. We don't listen to the warning signs. We're like healthy, 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 dead. Because we
exactly. I love that. And as a healthy, healthy, healthy dead, because we just keep going and going and going. Oh my God. I will say now the book is Addicted to Wellness. We're going to link to that in our show notes. So we'll have a link to purchase the book. We'll see about getting this book up in the amazing America Out Loud bookstore. Would love to add you as an author there. So awesome. I'll work on getting that done.
Thank you.
We're out of time. I wish we had more time to go, but I look forward to joining you on your show here in the near future and having you back again, because this has been just an absolutely amazing conversation. Ashley James, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Kimberly. This was great.
Absolutely. And that's all the time that we have for today, friends. But remember, we are here on the air 5 days a week, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can also catch the encore at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please be sure to tune in and listen to myself and my amazing sister nurses. As we walk you through all of these hot topics, we will empower you with information and education. We will advocate and we will stand in the gap for you, because we are nurses and this is what we do. Remember that we are in a war for truth. We are putting out a bounty on the real misinformation and exposing the purveyors of propaganda. No topic is off limits as we shine our lights and expose the darkness.
It's time.